Good morning, my friends, and welcome to this special time together on the power of positive purpose. This is Dr. J. Scott Neal of the Center for Spiritual Living in Fremont, thanking you for sharing this time with me. You know, my friends, when sincerely desired, a whole pattern of life can be changed. We see this guidance if we look carefully and to the great teachings of the age. If we go to Romans 13:11, we discover the power behind prayer. It says very clearly, "Now it is high time to awake out of the sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." Salvation means to be saved from your own nonsense, your confusion, your doubt, your fear. Know the truth, it'll set you free. You can change your thinking, my friends. And if you change your thinking, what happens? You change your life. There is within us, every one of us, something that partakes of the nature of the divine being. It is always right where we are. It partakes of the nature of the divine being, and because it does, we are divine. The divinity within you, as you, is you. It arrived when you arrived. It is looking out of your eyes now. And if you know this is so, and act as if it's so, and see as if it's so, and give as if it's so, and receive as if it's so, something wonderful happens, and it's you. In Deuteronomy 4:39, it affirms, "Know therefore this day, and consider it in thy heart, that the Lord, he is God in heaven above, and upon the earth beneath. There is none else." There is not God in something else. It is everywhere at once. It is infinite. Every great teacher has taught this. The lesser teachers have always taught there's something other than God that you have to be afraid of. And if you don't believe the way we believe, then whatever that other thing is that's other than God will get you. Now, this concept of reality is a wonderful thing. In the beginning chapter of the Science Mind textbook by Dr. Ernest Holmes, in the chapter of the thing itself, it tells us very clearly that we are not limited by that which we have accepted up to now. The great teachers all over the world, all throughout time, have taught us that we are not limited by that which we have allowed ourselves to believe yesterday. If we look at the infinite, we realize that it is infinite. It is infinite in intelligence and love, and it is not limited by its parts, although it is the substance of all of its parts, and you're part of it. I'm part of it. Everyone is. Whether you're a Buddhist or a Baptist, Islam, Shinto, or whatever you are, it doesn't matter, because the same life that made us all made us out of itself. Everyone is some part of this thing we call God. Our life is God life. When we do contact this awareness and let it be our way, when we know and know we know, and you know the thing about knowing and knowing that you know, as you suddenly wake up to the realization that the more you know, the more you know there is more to know. If you commune with this understanding, commune with the life that is in you as you, through prayer, through meditation, what happens? Your being will then, at that moment, be made perfect in every way. Why? Because the life within you, the life within me, is always perfect. So our challenge is to do what? Find the presence of God. Find the presence of God, and all else shall be given unto us. What are we told? Seek ye first the kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom and all else shall be added. Most people are seeking all else and bypassing the kingdom. They think a bunch of memorized words is going to get them to a point where they are free from the nonsense of yesterday. So my friends, my advice to you this morning is to do not just read guidebooks, but learn to walk personally along the way that all the guidebooks you can ever find indicate, until you do something, until you yourself have reached the truth that will set you free. There's a phrase, a concept in Zen Buddhism I've shared with you before. This phrase in Zen Buddhism, from which we can learn something if we pay attention to it, it goes like this. Zen is like a finger pointing to the moon. Do not mistake the finger for the moon. Now, we have a lot of religions on this planet, and we have thousands of Christian denominations and all kinds of concepts of every religion on this planet. Our challenge is to know that the God of every religion, the God that every religion points to, is the same one. There are many paths to it. Don't confuse the path with the destination. Take the road less traveled. Allow yourself to know that truth is not truth unless it leads you to yourself. Always be suspect of the guru that leads you to the guru, the teacher that leads you to the teacher, the religion that leads you to the religion, because the only true religion is one that leads you not to the religion, but to yourself. Affirm with me this morning, and think about it as you say it. There is one life, one mind, one substance, and I am one with this reality. With this undivided whole, I am perfect, I am complete, I am what God is within me. What a great thing to wake up to. Dr. Ernest Holmes, the author of the Science of Mind textbook, said, if there is a law of thought, if there is evidence that any prayer was ever answered or that any person's faith has consummated in an objective realization of that faith, then there is evidence of an intelligence in the universe which accepts the word of faith and acts upon it. When? All the time. You can't turn it off. And what does it say to us? It only says yes. What if you could wake up today and affirm, I am spirit, not body, I am spirit. Now, for years we have been aware of, and medical science has been aware of, the idea of psychosomatic medicine. Modern psychosomatic medicine and psychosomatic research is proving something metaphysicians have believed and demonstrated for a very, very long time. There is a one-to-one relationship between mind and body. Another great thinker says, electricity is not a thing. Like St. Paul's Cathedral, it is a way in which things behave. Electricity. You know, nobody knows what it is. They've never seen it. All they do is understand that it's there, understand the law of it, and apply it. When Moses was moving around the desert, when there were cavemen around, the principle of electricity was around at the time. The law of electricity was around at the time. We can use it better now because we understand it better now. The same thing with your mind, your life, the power within you. Understand more about it and then give birth to a greater experience by way of that understanding. Why do we continue to act as though the material world, including our own body, is nothing more than a world of cause? It is not. Affirm with me right now, body is always an effect, never a cause. Body is always an effect, never a cause. Now, you can use yesterday's idea as your cause today, and all you will do is reproduce yesterday. The reason most people will not change their life for the better is because they refuse to think in a different way, and if you think the same way all the time, you're going to keep having the same experiences. We would not say that consciousness is in the body, but rather that the body is in consciousness. I am not a body with a soul. I'm a soul that has a body. I'm not a body with a spirit. I am spirit that has a body. A person's body, my friend, is the written side of their personal story, the story they have been telling themselves over the years. And what would happen if you started telling yourself another story? What would happen if you started thinking from a higher perspective than the definition of you out of yesterday? What would happen if you allow yourself to do this? What would happen is this. Your event and relationships would do what? They would outpicture themselves in a new way. They would outpicture your new philosophy of life. It would outpicture as a new concept of personality, a new development within your own greater good, your talents, your creativity, your understanding, your energy, your expression, your ability to find answers instead of problems. You would find yourself maturing in a positive way spiritually, and you would allow yourself to begin to celebrate that spiritual maturity in such a way that you would know that your new idea has been attained as experience, and the experience now gives birth to what? It gives birth to a greater and greater opportunity to even know more. Now, how does the science of mind work in your life, as your life? We are told in Galatians 5, 22, 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now remember, suffering means, if you look and go to the dictionary, you can finally, you know, look long enough into definitions and you will find this one. Suffering means to change. It doesn't mean to wallow around at the level of poor little old me all your life. There is nothing in this universe that wants you to suffer. There is nothing in this universe that wants you to be afraid or alone or unhappy. When a farmer plants a seed, the farmer evolves into an understanding that the seed going into the ground is his way of invoking a law, the law of nature, the law of growth, the ground, the seed, what happens. That which follows, the planting of the seed, is done by the mechanical side of nature, which has no volition of its own. That's from the Science of Mind textbook. On page 38, and it's true. Not just because it's in the book. Everything in that book is true because it's true. It's not true because it's in the book. You know, what Jesus expressed 2,000 years ago didn't become true because he expressed it. He expressed it because it was true. With God, all things are possible. What I've done, ye shall do in greater things. He understood very clearly that once one person proves something, they just prove that you can prove it. Now, it is important, my friends, to realize that your thought is brought into outer expression by impersonal law. In other words, it acts alike for everyone, and it acts alike on all of your consciousness, not just some of it. Say this statement and understand it as you say it, and here it is. We can put it in first person. As I think, so it is done unto me. My friends, as you think, it is done unto you. Now, if you understand that, it will lead you to the realization that you will do what? Get what you give. If you want tomatoes, plant tomato seeds and keep the plot free of weeds. Same thing with consciousness. If you want a new experience, plant a new idea and weed out everything unlike the new idea. God does not personally attend to the growth of each and every tomato plant on this planet, but there is that within the seed which makes the tomato grow according to the law of tomato growth. Now, there is no anthropomorphic being bearded and jealous with an ego problem watching us all the time and listening to everything we think. There is a law of this universe that is with us all the time, responding to everything we think, and that law is the law of God, everywhere at once. There is that within us, my friends, which receives our thought and acts upon it, and our thought, every single one of them, our thoughts grow into things, the things of our life. It grows into our event. A negative thought produces the negative. A positive thought produces the positive. How simple can you get? No ritual, no ceremony, no rigmarole, no please God, listen to my prayer. All it is a acceptance in action manifesting as your life. All things beget in such a way that your idea produces after its own kind. This is a basic law of nature. It always works. A neurosis begets a neurotic. Peace of mind begins as a new idea of self, and you begin to understand that it's a new idea because you made a choice to have a new idea. And you do it because you know peace of mind begets a balanced person.
This is Reverend Dr. Cynthia Neal of the Center for Spiritual Living in Fremont. In November, our Wednesday evening program will be facilitated by the brilliant Reverend Christy Hardwick. Reverend Christy will lead a book study on The Biology of Belief by Bruce Lipton. The biology of belief bridges the world of our mind and the world of our body into one idea of fully conscious living. Please feel free to drop in and sample the class for no charge whatsoever. We would love to have you. To find out more about Reverend Christy and her amazing talent, visit her at spiritedcontribution.com and be sure to join us Wednesdays in November. And now, back to The Power of Positive Purpose with Dr. J. Scott Neal.
So this morning, I'm going to give you a challenge by way of a question. The question is this: are you ready? Are you ready? Now, if you're ready, would you not be eagerly ready to study anything and everything that allows you to discover how to improve your belief? There's a lot of people who want to do a lot of things, but they won't let themselves learn how to do it, and they won't let themselves learn how to be responsible when the doing produces event, experience. Shall we not then be transformed by the renewing of our mind? That's the challenge given 2,000 years ago. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. But that statement happens right after this statement. Be not conformed to the world. Be not conformed to yesterday's thought. Be new thought in action. The new thought movement, evolving out of Emerson into Mary Baker Eddy and Christian Science, Charles Fillmore and Myrtle Fillmore in Unity, Ernest Holmes in Religious Science, Nona Brooks in Divine Science, all of these movements evolved as people transcended the idea of dogma, creed, ceremony, devil, rituals, worship, gobbledygook, my God's better than your God, my denomination's better than yours. And they got to a higher definition, which is the power is everywhere at once. They began to use Jesus as an example and not an exception. They began to practice as he practiced. And this is what we call the modern New Thought movement. The New Thought concept manifesting in Unity, Religious Science, Divine Science. This is the realization that our consciousness is our way, and if we want our way to be better than it was, we better ourselves by right of consciousness, by understanding that we are spirit-filled all the time. We don't have to get it. We were born with it. In 1 Corinthians 12:7, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. It doesn't say some. It says everyone. All of us. You see, as long as the spirit of the past can visit the present, there is no hope for the future. Listen to it again. As long as the spirit of the past can visit the present, there is no hope for the future. That is a wonderful idea shared by the Lakota. Today, we have the opportunity to celebrate ourselves, to celebrate a greater idea of ourselves, a grand entrance into higher consciousness, an awakening into higher consciousness in such a way that we can realize that we are at the beginning of a mystical adventure. In the Science of Mind textbook, Dr. Ernest Holmes says, mysticism does not mean mystery, nor is a mystic a mysterious person. Hence, we should divorce all sense of the peculiar, the abnormal, or the unnatural form of our ideas of mysticism, and think of the mystic sense as one's consciousness of their unity with the whole. My friends, affirm with me today, I am spirit-filled, and I know it. And I know I know it. See, that's a good thing to add to it. Lots of spiritual geniuses. They're around today. They've been around forever. The people in duality who thinks that God is a big person on a throne with an ego problem usually think that these people are less than adequate in this thing called life, primarily because they do not conform to the world. They have transformed themselves by the renewing of their mind. The spiritual geniuses of all ages have gained this sense of unitary wholeness. A true mystic, my dear friends, is not one controlled by the influences of their mental environment or even their outer world. These people are not people who sit in silent receptivity to whatever may penetrate their mind, but they are people who have determined and have given their awareness over to conscious volition. And this places them in a positive and receptive attitude toward the influx of spirit, the influx of a higher, healthier idea about self and the world. Now, what kind of influx is this, and can we have it? Yes, we can. This influx is possible, and it is the testimony of the wisest people who have ever lived. You see, there is such a thing as spiritual illumination, and spiritual illumination is something that we can all have at any time we choose to let go and let ourselves have it. There is such a thing as spiritual illumination, and anyone who has investigated this subject knows this is true. They cannot deny the opposite. Now, how can we doubt a supreme intelligence in the universe once we have claimed that we ourselves are intelligent? You're intelligent, my friend. Act intelligent. Dr. Ernest Holmes used to say, we are dealing with universal intelligence, and the only way to really deal with it is to deal with it intelligently. We do not have to gather grapes from thorns, and something cannot be produced from nothing. We have, as the original starting point of all creation, pure spirit, positive intelligence, and unformed stuff. And it is possible to conceive that the initial movement of creation as being everything we are, and because this is true, it becomes impossible to conceive that the initial movement of creation as being anything other than what we are. The action of pure spirit or positive intelligence operating through law upon unformed stuff manifests in us always. Now, Emerson said that this thing that made us out of itself is within us, as us, waiting in smiling repose to become anything we let it be if we remove our bloated nothingness out of the way. Now, what does this include? This includes our ability to spiritualize the physical, the mental, and to know that it is one with the spiritual. We can spiritualize the outer, starting from within. Our sense of this unity running through all the variety of our life is a fundamental oneness that joins everything, everywhere, and it is the fact of every aspect of our life. It is, as the great have told us, unitary wholeness. You see, my friends, there is no here and there to the spirit. Why? Because both are included within itself. Even as yesterday, today, and tomorrow are but passing events in this unitary wholeness, even as big and little are but outlines And the whole objective universe is nothing more than a medium of expression for that which transcends time, overshadows eternity, and encompasses all form, all of it. So remember, my friends, you are what you're looking for. Affirm that in first person. What I'm looking for, I'm looking with. God is everywhere at once, everything at once. Right where you are, right now. My friends, you are included in the Spirit. It made you out of itself. And in truth, it is a wonderful thing to be you. Know this today. And let it be your beautiful way, this beautiful day.
This is Dr. J. Scott Neal of the Center for Spiritual Living in Fremont, thanking you for sharing this time with me this morning. Inviting you to join with us every Wednesday evening at 7:30, every Sunday morning at 9:30 and 11:30. Our address is 40155 Blakeout Road in Fremont. Come down the Nimitz Freeway to Stevenson. Go toward the hills three blocks. You'll be at Blakeau and Stevenson. You'll see the Arco station on the corner. Take a right and you'll be right in our parking lot. We would love to see you. And if you come see us, say hello to me and let me know that you heard about it on the radio.
Thank you for listening this morning. If you have enjoyed Dr. J. Scott Neal on the Power of Positive Purpose, you might like to know this radio program is based on his book by the same title. To download a free chapter from his book, visit our website at www.csl-fremont.org/the book. This radio program is made possible by the generous donations of our members and listeners. If you would like to support Dr. J. Scott Neal's presence on the air, visit our website at www.csl-fremont.org and click the button on the right-hand side that says Contribute Online. All donations, of course, are tax-deductible. We appreciate you listening and invite you to join us every Wednesday morning at 7 a.m. right here on KEST Radio, 1450 a.m.